All right, well, thank you guys very much for having me today, and I'll just jump right in. This is an outline of what I'm going to talk about. I'll go over a little bit of background information first, and then also state our hypotheses of the project. Also describe the study site and the methods that we used, and then conclude with a results and a discussion of the study. So just a little bit about my background. I grew up on a farm in Maryland. We have primarily horses and cattle. I've always been interested in different grazing techniques in particular, but also sources of contamination into stream water, and primarily how management can affect those outcomes. So one potential source is going to be livestock grazing, and we were presented an opportunity to work on a rotational beef cattle operation. I'll talk about this a little bit more in a few moments, but we measured fecal coliforms found in stream water, as well as FC and salmonella present in cowpats and soils. So in general, livestock grazing does raise a potential concern for fecal contamination. This is primarily due to animals having direct access or directly contaminated surface waters. Also disposal methods of waste materials. This study only looked at beef cattle operations, but septic systems and wildlife are other potential sources. And even back in 1970, people were looking at fecal coliforms and using them as an indicator species of fecal contamination. So how do enteric bacteria get into a water supply? In an agricultural setting, that primary method is going to be through surface water runoff. Dr. Rob Atwell from UC Davis wrote a paper in 95 talking about the necessary steps for a pathogen to be transmitted to humans from livestock. First, the pathogen has to be just excreted from the animal, and then it has to reach a water supply. And this can happen if the animal defecates directly into the water supply, also overland or subsurface transport. It also has to retain the necessary cellular structure to cause an infection, and there has to be enough of it present at one time to initiate that infection. So if you eliminate any one of these steps, you can greatly reduce the potential for transmission. And we really focused on that second step there about how bacteria gets into a water supply. There are some ways to reduce contaminated runoff. Simply, you can exclude livestock from having direct stream access. This can decrease sedimentation, phosphorus accumulation, and also contamination of fecal material. Management can be used beneficially. This is done by including fencing along stream banks, also having vegetative buffer zones, and simply periods of rest from grazing. So the take-home message here is that there are different methods for livestock grazing, and you can mitigate contaminated runoff. That kind of leaves us with just looking at overland transport and subsurface flow. It's typical for raw manures or manures in general to be used as a soil amendment to increase organic matter or nutrients, but using raw manures or a slurry can sometimes add a lot of bacteria to the soil. Water content is a critical factor in all of this, and specifically it's been shown to affect bacterial growth and also transport. Soil properties play a role in this as well, and silts and clays are going to be more efficient than sands at straining out bacteria, and this is primarily due to their smaller pore size. So we looked at water quality both upstream and downstream from one particular well-designed rotational operation, and we came up with two main hypotheses. First, there'd be no significant difference in fecal coliform that was present in the water based as a function of this cattle operation, and also that there would be no difference in FC or salmonella found in soils of one paddock used for grazing before and after cattle were present. And we did a couple things to test this. We looked at FC concentrations in stream water at multiple locations, and we also looked at FC and salmonella present in soil and fecal pats of one paddock used for grazing. So just to give you an idea of where we are, northern Humboldt County, we're up close to the Oregon border. Here is where we are today, down in Long Beach. And this is a Google Maps image of the area. There are three main pastures, and the Elk River flows up in the middle. The red line is around the perimeter of the study sites, about 88 acres total. The letters A, B, and C are stream sampling locations. So A is the upstream site, B is located at a stream crossing, and C is downstream. So in this image, water is flowing from the bottom to the top. The box in the center, the orange box, is actually where the soils experiment took place. So here's a photo of the stream crossing. This is site B. This was taken in late September. It's been months after any significant rainfall. But cattle would cross here. They were only brought across the stream about three times during this study. And they were brought across at a trot. It would take about a minute total for them to get across the stream. That's right in the center of the property. Right next to it is the location of the soils experiment. And this is one paddock that was used. There were many other paddocks just like this one on the property. But there is electrified wire fence that goes around this particular paddock. It does go along the stream channel. And you can see that there are willow and alder trees that are also along the stream channel there as well. So it was a dairy farm up until about 2002. Animals were removed from the property, and beef cattle were brought back in May of 2009. The predominant soil series is the Russ. It is a loam texture. It's a eudifluvent, so it's typically found on floodplains. It's also going to be on level slopes underneath pasture. And again, there was no direct contact between livestock and surface waters except for the three times that they were brought across the stream. This is a timeline that shows when sampling took place. There was preliminary sampling done in April and October of 2009, but that was omitted from this data. So beginning in January 2010, you can see when cattle were present, when we sampled, and then also when the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board was sampling as well. They're doing a concurrent study, and unfortunately their data is not yet published. So I can just show you when they were sampling at this time. Now, we followed procedures from the standard methods for water and wastewater. We used a kick and grab method for collecting water samples, and we had three separate grabs at each location. So we had a total of three bottles every time we went out to sample stream water, one for each location. We would transport the bottles back to a lab using a cooler and an ice pack. And we used membrane filtration in the lab. There's a lot going on with this picture here. This is the apparatus that was used. But a piece of filter paper would be placed onto the filter funnel, would be wetted with a buffer solution, and then the liquid sample would be poured through. And the vacuum would pull the liquid through, but larger particles like bacteria would be trapped on the filter. We used filter paper with a 45 micron pore opening. Next, the filter paper would be placed on a selective growth media. We were looking at fecal coliforms, so we used something called MFC agar. It would be incubated in a water bath for 24 hours, and then it would be removed, and we would count the total number of colony-forming units, or CFUs. So the soils and cow pad experiment was really designed to look at just one particular grazing paddock. 22 samples were taken from 5x5 meter test plots, and there were also three cow pats that were sampled. This whole experiment took about a month, and we were out sampling every 2 to 3 days. This is a schematic of the location of the soils experiment. You can see that the test plots were randomly distributed throughout the paddock, also the three locations of the cow pats that were sampled. You can see the proximity to the Elk River and then the farm road that was used as a stream crossing. So site B is actually located right there at their intersection. We also collected enough samples so that moisture content could be determined. We did this. We obtained a conversion factor and then had everything recorded in a consistent dry weight basis. Some of the samples were necessary to dilute, so we used a buffer solution of a 1.1% peptone. Again, we used membrane filtration. We used MFC agar for fecal coliform, and then for salmonella, we used SS agar. And salmonella was isolated first in a tetrathionate broth. So this graph shows FC concentrations in stream water. The shaded area is when cattle were present, and that orange line that goes across at the 200 mark, that is the EPA threshold for full body contact. There really wasn't anything jumping out at this with this, so we needed to look at the data a little bit more. And we ran a correlation analysis looking for a lag effect. We found that the seventh day had the highest correlation, meaning it would take 7 days after a rainfall event to induce maximum fecal coliform values in stream water. So we ran an ANOVA, generated the scatter plot that shows fecal coliforms versus precip that's corrected for the 7 day lag effect. We had to use the natural log of the data due to the orders of magnitude difference, and we found no significant difference across the sampling sites. However, there was a difference between the presence or absence of cattle. For the soils experiment, we saw no difference between the three cowpats that were sampled. We did see a significant difference between FC and moisture content. And I think that that shows that the longer the cowpats were out on the field, the drier they became and the less moisture or less bacteria they had in them. For the soils, we saw no differences of any kind between fecal coliform values as a function of moisture. The salmonella is along the bottom. There's a lot of zeros there. And for the previous graph, there was zero virtually all the time for salmonella in cowpats, so we omitted that. So there was no difference between fecal coliform upstream and downstream in our stream sampling. And this did not test specifically for differences in different management techniques, but it looked at water quality along a stream channel as a potential source. Because of this, I don't believe that we can infer that cattle were the sole input into FC into Elk River, and there's a few things about that. The ranch occupies less than 0.7% of the total watershed. It's on relatively level slopes, less than 5%, and steep slopes are occurring further upstream in the watershed. We did find that enteric organisms were in low concentrations in the soil and reached 90% deactivation within approximately 1 month. I think there are other sources of contamination as well. Further upstream, it's primarily industrial timberlands, and I think that a future study may look at those two areas and compare the two sites. Also, septic systems, we didn't talk about that at all in our study, but they may be releasing fecal coliform into the environment and not indicate a failure. There are methods of isolation. One in particular is antibiotic resistance analysis, and a 2003 study used that to look at different isolates traced back to livestock, humans, or wildlife sources and found that they varied throughout the season. Also, dilution in stream discharge is very important. This blue line that's highlighted there shows a rivulet that we sampled in the spring and early summer. It's entering in between the sites A and B. We saw the highest levels of fecal coliform, about 500 CFUs per 100 mil, but it didn't affect overall water quality. So that left this question as to how does this affect or how does this change over a season? So in conclusion, the Elk River is contaminated with fecal coliform, and it does present a potential concern as far as drinking water supply goes in that area. But I think that in future studies, they're going to need to use a multi-source, multi-parametric sampling, which would lead to a more robust approach in addressing water quality concerns. So thank you very much. And if there's any questions, I could be happy to take them at this time.
Questions?
Are they going to use it from a regulatory standpoint, or what's going to be their final objective?
They're doing other sampling because there's a lawsuit involved at the moment. So it is for regulatory purposes. Can't really talk more about it at this time, so. Yes, antibiotic resistance analysis.
Right, so it's kind of a microbial source tracking.
It is. It's a method of isolation.
And you're saying you've got these variations through the year, so how do you parse that out, or can you find any patterns there?
That's well, There's a couple different methods of source isolation. There's no real consensus yet as to which one is the best. It's relatively new. It's expensive. You need to have libraries of upwards of 1,000 isolates to do it. I think with their study, with the antibiotic resistance analysis, they compared it to a library of more than 1,000 different isolates, and they were tracking whether fecal coliforms were coming from cattle or some other form of livestock, different wildlife species, and then also humans, and that would be relative to septic systems. So the whole fluctuation, they were saying that it is dependent on seasonal variations, rainfall variations, and then also where they were collecting the sample along the stream segment. So there is a lot of variability there. But.
One last question I just thought of. You mentioned this amount of time after a rainfall event before you detect it.
Yes.
Would that have been an indication of it being further upstream?
I'm not sure. I think that's looking at having multiple locations, both the ranch and then further upstream, I think would give the best indicators to if it's something in the environment that's causing increases in fecal coliform, or if it is particularly the cattle that were grazing or not. The lag effect really was to determine after rainfall how long did it take for water to flush anything off of the pasture and then make it to our sampling sites. That's why we corrected for that.
All right. So. Thank you very much.